One.
Blog Talk Radio.
And as I always say, recorded live.
Welcome to All About Wine on Blog.
That's loud. Is that loud on your end?
Yes.
All right, let me try this again. Sorry,
Welcome
bud.
Welcome
to it's still
All
loud.
About Wine on Blog Talk Radio.
Well,
a weekly call-in talk show presented each Thursday from 7 p.m.
Turn the volume
to
down.
8 p.m. Eastern. Featuring Ron with Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. We encourage listeners to call and participate during this hour-long broadcast. Dial 646-727-3235. 646-727-3235 anytime during the show. Winery location, contact information, and upcoming events are presented at the end of the show. Sit back,
relax,
and join us with a glass of world-class wine made right here in Florida. And now, vineyardist, tasting expert, cellar master, and winemaker with Florida Estates Winery, here's Ron.
Thank you. We got a busload out there tonight. It's not bad.
Yes. And, okay. They are all parked in the back. And that is loud. Okay, you people settle down. They have a show to do. Yeah, let them get it out of the system. And stop. Okay, thank you. Wow, that was quick. Boy, they're right on cue.
It was, yeah. They listen well, too.
Right? Yes, they do. Yeah, I was just drinking a cold one here. And actually, it's water, so.
Oh, I got myself some Sauvignon Blanc.
Oh, isn't that good?
Yes, it is. It's very good. Actually, it's a 2003 Sauvignon Blanc. We used to sell at the winery, and we ran out, but I, being the winemaker, do still have some bottles put away, and I decided to open up one tonight, and I'll tell you what, this is really, really good. It has held itself together quite well,
and
quite delicious, I think. I mean, it was a good Sauvignon Blanc when we had it, but this is really continued to be a very, very nice Sauvignon Blanc. For those of you out there who are not Sauvignon Blanc fans, by all means, don't give up on them. There are some beautiful Sauvignon Blancs available.
Mm.
So,
okay, well.
I wax poetic about Sauvignon Blancs. I'm sorry.
Very good. Hey, that works. Yeah, this is very good. Welcome to the show. It's all about wine. It's every Thursday. Anyway, it'll be every Thursday, as it has been. Except next Thursday. Yes. Is that October 1st? Yes.
That's October 1st.
Except October 1st, we will not be on next Thursday at 7 p.m., but the following Thursday. Maybe we'll do a rerun or something on
We got the hour, so you know we'll pop on the best of or something.
Sure. Yeah, there you go, the best of. if you'd like to call in, be sure to do that anytime during this hour. You have 56 minutes to give us a call, which is plenty of time. It is area code 646-727-3235. That is a direct number into the switchboard here. We'll see you come up, and I'll be able to message Ron and say, hey, we got a call. And then we'll take a break and bring your call on the air with us, and you can discuss anything about wine, ask questions, offer your comments if there's something that kind of interests you about what we're talking about. And,
or anything about wine.
Yeah,
it doesn't have
yeah
to
anything.
Subject.
Oh, sure. Yeah, any topic, as long as it's about wine at some point. We don't want to hear about your car going down or something, you know. It's just, you know, you never know.
Well, if it's because you're going to ask her to get some wine and your car breaks down, maybe that's part of the story. But
yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Anyway, welcome. Ron is with the Florida Estates Winery located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. You can call him direct at area code 813-996-2113. Open daily from 11 a.m. until 6 p.m., and a great place to visit, great place to have some wine, and on some weekends you can enjoy the entertainment outside and the wine fest. We'll get into that a little bit later, but where am I at? Yes, okay. Anyway, let's go on with the show. We have 55 minutes. You can give us a call at any time during that 55-minute time span. Welcome on.
Woo-hoo! Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you. if you don't want to call, if you don't want to talk on the air, too, you can always hook up IM, instant message us, or you can just let us know you don't want to be on the air, and we'll keep you off the air or whatever. Some people get a little apprehensive about that. We understand. So if you have any comments or something, you can always do it off air, and we're more than happy to discuss it with you on that. So
absolutely. Thank you.
I just wanted to let that know. Line that likes Florida, that is north of Tampa. For any of those of you who are not listening in the Florida area, and that's where we are, we're in Florida. And we've noticed lately that we're getting some listeners from as far away as Australia. So
nice.
It's good to let you know. I've got Florida State Winery has a Facebook page, and I've got a fan on Facebook from Australia. So,
wow, very good.
Yeah, that's sort of cool. So if you are listening to this from anywhere else besides in Florida here, we are north of Tampa, which is the west coast of Florida in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And right now it is 7:06 in the evening on Thursday. So if you are listening to us from another part of the world, your time can be different than ours. So just let you know, this is our live broadcast.
Woo-hoo.
Just wanted to fill that stuff in. Not trying to take over my stuff. He used to handle
no,
that.
No, please. You're doing good.
I just wanted to fill in a few of the technicals there.
Very good. Okay.
We are talking about French wines. We have been talking about French wines. So this is what, part four?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Part four about French wine. Obviously, French wines are a lot to talk about. That's why we are on part four. French wines, just as a quick review, the oldest wine regions of the world come from France. Some of the classic wines, some of the world-class wines, some of the best-known wines in the world are from France. And so we are talking about the different regions of France and different areas. We have talked about we start out with the Bordeaux region and discuss the Bordeaux, which is in the triggering France is roughly a circle. The Bordeaux region is in the southwest part of France, left bank and right bank are the two sides of the Bordeaux regions through the Gironde River. And we talked about the different grapes and different wineries and different areas of the left bank and right banks of the Bordeaux region. Some of the Bordeaux region being one of the largest growing regions of the world, like I mentioned, there's more acreage planted in the Bordeaux region than there is in all of Germany. There's more acreage planted in the Bordeaux region than there is in Napa, Sonoma, and Mendocino counties combined out in California. So it is a very large grape growing region, and they do grow three basic grapes there, the Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, and Cabernet Franc, although there are some Petit Verdot and Malbec grapes growing, but in small percentage, but the first three I mentioned are the most common. We also started to talk about the Burgundy region. We spent 2 weeks on the Bordeaux, and we spent last week on Burgundy, and we're going into the second week of the Burgundy region of France. The Burgundy region of France, again, if we look at France as a big circle, the Burgundy region of France is in the central eastern edge of France, around the Loire and the Rhone rivers, more around the Rhone rivers, at the just south of the Paris in that region, and some of the classic grapes from around classic wines from around the world are grown in the Burgundy region of France. The most common grapes that you will find, and actually just about the only grapes you will find in the Burgundy region, is the Pinot Noir, Gamay, and those are both used for red wines, and the Chardonnay, which is the actually the major white grape in France. But particularly in the Burgundy region, you'll find lots of Chardonnays grown in there, and lots of unoaked Chardonnays. We were discussing some Burgundy last week, and some Chardonnays that are grown in some areas of Burgundy. We were discussing basically the northern Burgundy regions, the Chablis region, which is your Chardonnay regions. We went on down to the Côte des Nôtes, Côte d'Or, Côte des Bions. These are all noted for their great wines, usually the Chardonnays in northern areas there, and the Pinot Noirs. Most of the areas are small. Whenever you speak of different regions that are under vine, largest is usually around 1,500 acres, and they drop down to as small as less than 500 acres for in the regions we covered last week. Although some of them we're going to be discussing today are even smaller than that. So great wines can be harvested from very small regions. One of the things I do want to cover about the Burgundy region is the tier system that they have, the quality tier system. I did talk in depth about it last week, but I do want to go over it again, just basically as a review. The Grand Cru, this is the highest ranking you can get on grapes in the Burgundy region. This is the Great Gross, the Grand Cru, basically meaning Great Gross. These are the ones that the highest ranking ones. These are all specific to how the grapes can be grown, what type of grapes can be grown, how they're put together and all this stuff. It is really quite stringent rules to get yourself a Grand Cru designation. Right below that, Premier Cru is the first growth, basically, is what the status is for that. And it is historically superior vineyards, not as highly ranked as a Grand Cru, but again, some very high-ranking vineyards, some very popular vineyards, some great wines that come out of the Grand or the Premier Cru. Below that is the Village, or it looks like Village, but Village, I believe it's pronounced. And this is for a single village, for a single town. And it would be any number of little small towns and around that town within a certain circle around that town because of the soils and the climate and those. The next would be a district, and that is just what it sounds like. It is an area within the Burgundy district, or within the Burgundy region, its districts. Chablis is a district, Côte-du-Nord is a district, Côte d'Or is a district. All these are districts, and so you can have a district designation. And then the last one is basically table wines, if you will, just more the wines that are consumed in France more than anything else. You probably won't see the last destination in the States because they're ones that they fill jugs with and put it on the tables at the restaurants, and these are the ones that you drink while you're sitting there. So those are the five tier systems, the quality tier systems of the Burgundy region. And I bring that up because they're very strong on the tier system. A lot of stuff that has to do in the Burgundy region and in France on terroir, and I've mentioned this before, it is always worth mentioning again, terroir, T-E-R-R-I-O-R, terroir. Terroir is a designation, there's no English word for this. It's terroir is simply a French word meaning that there is, it's an interaction of the soil, the climate, the grapes, everything that is around that grape and everything as it is growing and as it is maturing and as the weather affects it and as the winds affect it and has everything in the soil affects it and all that to give the final wine. And this is called terroir. It is a, again, there's no English equivalent to this. French are very big on terroir. And it's something that they have always always been very proud of and very prominent in their wine and how they deal with wines and stuff. So we are going to continue on in the one second. we're going to continue on in the Burgundy. We finished up last week with the northern area of Burgundy, the Burgundy districts. Now we're going to move a little bit further south into the Côte Chalonnais. The Côte Chalonnais is the Côte Chalonnais is the district right below the areas we just discussed, the Upper Burgundy area, Chablis and Cotignan, and stuff like that. And this is a continuation, basically, of the slopes of the Côte d'Or. It's separated by the valleys and the River Dion. The grape varieties are the same as the Côte d'Or. The soil, basically the same. The difference is the Côte Chalonnais is that it is more of a meadows and woods, pockets of meadows and woods. This is what you're going to find in this area here. It's about the same, but it's going to be a little bit different in the fact that you're going to have a little bit different type of terroir, a little bit different type of soil, a little bit different type of makeup of it. The wines in this region have been referred to for centuries as the true values of Burgundy. They are just a fraction of the cost that you're going to find in the Côte d'Or. There's three main appellations in the Côte Chalonnais region. They are Roulet, Mercure, and Gavray. The Roulet region produces equal amounts of reds and whites. They are a lot of character, a lot of body, a lot of finesse in the wines, although they are made in a lighter style than what you're going to find further north. It's the Chateau Rouet, which is basically the most predominant building in the area there, was built in the 12th century. And it's still standing. It overlooks the village of Rouen, and it's like a castle. While I was looking up some stuff on the Burgundy here, I saw three or four pictures of it, and it was quite impressive. The winery and the castle of the Chateau de Rouen. It's planted pretty much evenly in red and white grapes. Noted mostly for its whites, which again I refer back to the Chardonnays. They're very fruit forward style, appley, peary type. Not a lot of oak introduced, but if oak's introduced, it does give a lot of complexity to it, a little bit more of the oak. And let me point out, I think I may have said this before, and since we're talking about Chardonnays quite a bit here. Oak in a Chardonnay is a vanilla taste. If you get yourself a hint of vanilla in the nose or in the taste of a Chardonnay, that's usually oak you're picking up. That's the oak flavors that you're picking up. Oak presents itself quite strongly as vanilla in Chardonnay. So it will, and sometimes if you do a lot of oak, especially new French oak barrels, which I'm sure that some of these wineries are doing, the vanilla can become quite pronounced. In my opinion, even more pronounced than it should be. You're losing actual flavors and taste of the grapes sometimes. You're just switching over to tasting vanilla and oak. And I'm not a fan of that. Obviously, I do enjoy a good oaky, buttery Chardonnay. They're fantastic. But for everyday drinking, I would rather have one that's more the fruit-forward. Hence, the Chardonnay that we make at the winery is more of a fruit-forward style. I didn't oak it at all. This is what we use is 80% California Chardonnay blended with 20% Florida grape, and it's a really a fruit-forward Chardonnay. You can detect the oak or the lack of oak in there. There's no oak at all. You can really bring out the flavors of the Chardonnay grape, which is the little acid, the little flavors and taste of the Chardonnay grape. The red wines from the Rouen region are really very fruit-forward, complex sometimes, but not so much as a velvety finish and a velvety texture. Most of these is the a fruity, intense, earthy aromas and cherry flavor in the taste. Because of oak. I'm sorry. Mike just, we have someone who's doing a chat with us, and the question was asked, why do I sometimes get an aftertaste of chocolate? That is from the oak also, chocolate will appear in the oak. Red wines, though, you will pick up chocolate in a Cabernet, you will pick up chocolate in a Merlot, you can pick up some chocolate in a Pinot Noir. If the grape and the flavors of the grape are added to the oak, chocolate can become very pronounced. Chocolate is usually from the grape, though, and some grapes will really bring out a very strong chocolate flavor and chocolate taste. So if you're picking up flavors of chocolate, that's most of the time that's from the grape itself. You're not going to be getting much chocolate from the oak. Oak will give you more of a vanilla, toast, cinnamon, some of those heavier type flavors. Chocolate can be interpreted as a heavy flavor too. I understand that. But I'm thinking of, more of the toast comes out in oak more so than you will find anything in red wine. So the chocolate is from the grape. That's the aftertaste of chocolate. Cabernets are noted and Merlots are noted for the chocolatey aftertaste. And that's it's delicious if you can find wines that have that good chocolate aftertaste. I just absolutely love them because it adds so much complexity to the grape itself and to the wine itself. The Rouen region has 494 acres planted total.
Wow.
Which isn't a lot, less than 500. Yep. About half of Chardonnay and then half of Pinot Noir, which is the red grape. There's no Grand Cru designations in that area. So it's basically young, fruity wines that come out of the Rouen region. Next one is Mercure. Mercure is probably the most important of the communes in the Côte Chandonnaise region. It's only about 4% of the grapes that are produced in white wines. The rest of it are reds, which are extremely popular. The whites tend to be crisp, elegant, aromatic, pears, apples, very light and fruity, again, the whites being Chardonnay, young, seldom aging oak. These are great values if you're looking for a wine from France of great value on a Chardonnay. Try to find one from the Mercury region. It is really a good value, and you're getting some wonderful grapes. The red wines are Pinot Noir grapes, and these also give a lot of fruitiness. And France just, the terroir really must work for them because they come out with such great, wonderful fruitiness. I mean, pronounced flavors of cherries and plums and a little earthiness. You don't get a whole lot of earthiness, but you get these very pronounced flavors of the fruits. A smokiness comes out in some of these very soft tannins. Great with light dishes, light meat dishes, and even with light are with pasta, with your heavier red sauces and stuff. These reds will go well. They have almost 1,500 acres planted in the Mercury region. with close to 95% of it in the Pinot Noir grape, only about 5% in Chardonnay. So not a lot of Chardonnays coming out there, but a lot of Pinot Noir out there. And considering how temperamental the Pinot Noir is, it's amazing that so many of these wineries do Pinot Noir and do so much of it. The last region is the Gavray. It is the smallest region of the three villages, primarily reds. It's only about 250 acres, very small planting area, very small. 90% of it in Pinot Noir grapes, again. And they are great Pinot Noirs when oaked. It gives it, they start spending some time, but give it some oak aging, and these wines can rival some of the great wines coming out of the Côte de Brion. It's a lot of character that can be coming from the Gavray region, although not that noted. So the prices aren't really outrageous. But because of the fact that it's such a small acreage, you probably won't find too many of them. A lot of that is kept in Europe, as they are distribution in Europe more so than here in the States. Or anyone else around the world, you may be able to find it. Next region, Macanoy. I don't think the S is pronounced. I think Macanoy. This is a little bit further south. It's the southernmost appellation of the Côte Chaumaise. It is a area that extends for about 30 miles south of the Côte Chaumaise, and it past the city of Macon, overlaps the northern edge of Beaujolais. So it's in a very good region there as far as, getting your good grapes, or good climate, and good terroir. The three major appellations within this area are ones that I'm sure everyone's heard of. Puy-Fousse, which is very, very popular. Saint Véran and Macon Village. These are, in fact, I just had a couple come in a few days ago, Tuesday, I think it was, who said that the lady said, "I absolutely love Puy-Fousse. That's about the only wine that I'll drink." And she ended up getting six of my Chardonnay because she said it just really was very pleasant. She just loved it. I felt rather proud as she walked out the door. After I carried him out for it. But the Macanoy region is dominated by the Chardonnay grape, more so than anything. In fact, I think there's very little, if any, red grapes growing in this region. If there are, it's just as an afterthought. Chardonnay is a dominant grape in the whole area. Most of these, again, are not oaked. These are all fruit-forward Chardonnays, a nice clean flavors and aromas of classic Chardonnay, unoaked Chardonnays of apple, pear, lemons, a little bit of peach, all the fruitiness that you really do find in Chardonnay grape. The Chardonnays in this region pretty much take care of themselves. You don't, without any oak, you let the Chardonnay bring out the Chardonnay character, which is just absolutely beautiful, I think, a lot of times. And this area really shows it more than anything. This region, the Macanoy region of France, is probably your best white wine values you're going to find in the world. It's definitely in France. Again, you can go down and buy yourself Puy-Fousse at a really reasonable price and get yourself an excellent Chardonnay. So because of the fact that it is such a reasonably priced wine. And you can also find a Puy-Fousse in the Macon Village in grocery stores and in Targets and just about any place that sells any wine. Most of the time, these wines are sitting on the shelf there for purchase. And most of the time, they are reasonably priced, around $12, $13. The Puy Fossé region encompasses five villages. The Puy Fossé, Bergifion, Chantre, and Solitaire. And is, I mean, everything I've been searching and looking at stuff on this and the pictures I've been pulling up and everything, just absolutely a gorgeous picture postcard type region. The vineyards are usually on hillsides, and that adds so much to the region because of the hillsides, not the flatlands, nice hilly areas. And the altitudes of the grapevines usually run 1,000 feet to 1,300 feet in a slopey half-circle theater type, amphitheater type setting. It catches the sun. They're all southward facing. Most of them are the way the area is set up. Most of them are somewhat southward facing. A lot of this catches the sun and concentrates the sun on the grapes, which helps helps the grapes and helps bring out the acidity in it. The Puy Fossé region. If you pick up the Puy Fossé, if you pick up a Puy Fossé, you're going to really get a lot of the freshness and the crisp acidity that you'll find in the Chardonnay grape. Some of the people in the region do oak age, but it's seldom. You really have to search for an oaked wine from the Puy Fossé region. Most of the time, and it is stainless steel traps, letting the grape itself speak. Next region, or the next area in the Mâconnais, is Saint-Véran. And Saint-Véran has, not well known, not as well known probably as the Mâconnais Village and the Puy Fossé. It's like the ignored little stepsister. It's always played down to, it's always been played down to, and not recognized as much. The status of being a region being recognized is only came into being by the French government in 1971 when they recognized it. So it's not a real old region as far as that goes. But the plantings, chalky hillsides, the same type of landscaping and same type of climate, it will give you wines that are probably the same as you're going to find in the Puy Fossé or the Mâconnais Village wines. They tend to be a little bit lower yield because there's not as much demand, so they try to cut back on a little bit of the yield, so you're not getting as much of a yield, which actually helps the end product of the grape. Vineyards can produce, certain grapes can produce, and Chardonnays are usually can be quite prolific if let go. Chardonnays can produce 8-10 tons of the acre, although most places cut them back, and 5 is about the average that we try to pull out of it, so about 5 tons per acre. And with a little bit lower yield, it does tend to give better fruit, so that's why wineries do pull back on the growing of it. The Saint-Véran is a very easy drinking, lighter style Chardonnay. Great wine value there. You find some in the Saint-Véran, and that's Saint-Véran, Saint-Véran. They're going to run you pretty much half the price of a Puy Fossé, and you're still going to get the same quality and character. So, something to look into. Mâconnais Village. Again, only white wines coming out of Mâconnais Village. This is within the Mâconnais Village. There's 43 villages listed that can be classified as Mâconnais Village. And the reason I bring up the villages too, on French wines, they will say Mâconnais Village, which is a region, and then they will give a village, which is more of a pinpointing of what it is. It's like if you were to say California designation, Napa designation, St. Helena designation, as opposed to any other towns or anything in the Napa Valley. So what it does is it narrows it down even more. So there are there are, like I say, 43 different villages, and they are allowed to attach their name to a Makan. So instead of just saying Makan Village, which is a region, they can actually say Makan Fuse, which nails it down to a particular region there, an area. These are very good values. A little bit warmer climate because we've traveled a little bit further south. Because of the warmer climate, you don't get the harsh acidity coming out in the grapes. It tends to be a little bit softer. And so it softens that bite. A lot of people refer to that bite as bitterness. It's not bitter, it's acid. All wines have acid. It's just a matter of how it's balanced out. The Macon Village tends to be very balanced, nice, refreshing texture, nice, even finish. You do get a little bit of the acid coming out into it. You pretty much have to, or else it'd be flat. And that's why I say all wines have acid. If not, they're going to be flat. They're going to start going more toward a flat style, and you don't want that. So the Macon Village is, again, a better value than you're going to find in the other two regions, actually. Next region we're going to go to is Beaujolais. Everyone knows the Beaujolais region. And the reason everyone knows the Beaujolais region is because the Beaujolais region has came out with such a unique, phenomenal gimmick that I wish I had thought of it. This is the Beaujolais Nouveau. For those of you who are familiar with wines, and you probably are if you listen to this program, Beaujolais Nouveau is released on November 15th every year. The news channels will show the planes taking off from France loaded up with Beaujolais Nouveau to distribute it throughout the world. And on November 15th, some liquor stores, some wine stores, some of the, well, basically your local store, stuff like that, will open up at midnight so that you can come in and buy Beaujolais Nouveau as soon as it's released, as soon as it's allowed to release. And it's not allowed to be sold before midnight on the 15th of November. And it's usually a light, fruity wine, just an easy-drinking, soft, light wine made from the Gamay grape, which is the basic grape in almost all of the Beaujolais region, made from the Gamay grape. It is just a light, young, fruity Beaujolais, not made to age, not made to do anything, but just be picked up and poured in a glass and drank. Or if you can't wait to get home, pop open the cork and down it from the bottle. But it's just a nice, light, fruity Beaujolais. And the French have such a deal on this because people actually do run down to the stores and wait in line for the stores to open at midnight. And we do watch the airplanes taking off from France so they can distribute it all around the world and all this. I'm thinking about trying to think of some way so that I can tell everybody, Florida State Winery every year on February the 22nd is going to come out with this deal, because it's a great deal. It really is a great deal. And if you don't make it down at midnight, you can go down a week later, a month later, or almost a year later and pick up a Beaujolais Nouveau because there's plenty of them on the shelf. But it's just a nice, young, fruity wine. And I've tasted some absolutely exquisite Beaujolais Nouveaus, and I have tasted some absolutely horribly disappointing Beaujolais Nouveaus, but they don't do anything with them except just make them. I mean, they're not aged in oak. They're just put out. It's an interesting concept. I love the French for coming up with that idea, because the whole world gets all involved with it and everything. Wow. But that's the Beaujolais. That's why so many people are familiar with the word Beaujolais, I think, is because of the release of the Beaujolais Nouveau. But The Burgundy, if you speak of Burgundy, probably the most successful wines are coming from the Beaujolais. It's just a nice wine from a nice area that gives you some nice taste, and it's not overpowering. Usually the Beaujolais are all usually pretty young, pretty fruity. The Beaujolais region is the furthest south region of the Burgundy district. It is just north of the Rhone River and the Dubois River, which meets just south of there. And there's a big lake right there that both those rivers run into, and the Beaujolais region is just north of that area, just a short distance north of that area. And it's a rather large region. The Beaujolais region is 34 miles long and 7 to 9 miles wide, about the size of Napa Valley. It's not quite that wide. Napa doesn't go 7 to 9 miles wide, but it's about that long. Actually, you can stand at one side of Napa Valley and almost see movement on the other side of Napa Valley. So it's not 7 to 9 miles away. You're not going to be able to do that. The granite mountainsides that border that are from 2,300 feet to more than 3,400 feet, and provides the backdrop for the region. Usually considered one of the most beautiful wine-growing regions of France, other being Alsace, but the Beaujolais region is really, and it's also visited quite heavily because it's reasonably close to across the border from Italy and not too far north of Spain. And so because of its location, it is easier to visit, and it does get quite a bit of traffic there. So it is a very gorgeous area. There are over 4,000 growers in this region, which is a tremendous amount of growers for an area. A lot of them very small vineyards, very small, just the old teeny places that they happen to have their grapes. Again, the most predominant grape in the Beaujolais is the Gamay grape. And the Gamay grape thrives in this type of soil, too, the hard granite soil, stony. It picks up a lot of the characteristics of the soil and the I just lost my word. But it gives a nice, fresh, kind grape, very perfumed aroma. The Beaujolais region has does something that they don't do in most other regions too. When they harvest the grapes, they try to maximize the grape by doing an unusual method of producing it called carbonic maceration. Carbonic maceration, this is a style of vinification where the grapes are not pressed, but they are all just dumped into a big vat, and whole bunches and all that. When you go out and pick, you don't just come in and sort them out and destem them and all this stuff. Dump everything into a great big vat, and because the vat is so big and the weight of the grapes on top of it, the bottom grapes get crushed. And they start juicing, and the juice starts to ferment, beginning to ferment at the bottom grapes. And as the vat warms up because of the fermentation, this causes the grapes above it in the unbroken skins to start fermenting inside their skins. So what this does is it keeps the perfuminess and the fruitiness trapped inside the grape skins as it's fermenting. And so by the time it is broken and you're getting this fermentation out and the juice out, you've already captured a lot of the fruitiness and a lot of the intensities of the grape and of the flavors coming out. So a lot of the Beaujolais region is done in this style. They can be, and another thing nice about Beaujolais too is it can be chilled or it can be drink. Unchilled. It's one of those nice red wines that you really don't have to follow any rules on. You can just drink it anytime, anywhere. And it's a good way for people to get used to a red wine, the Beaujolais, the Gamay grape and the Beaujolais. And it's really sad, if I may, and I do all the time, jump off to something else here, but it's really sad that California doesn't grow more Gamay. I've always enjoyed a Gamay grape. I've had Gamay over the years, and I found some great Gamays, and it seems for some reason that it's not as popular as it really should be anywhere else except in France. And it's not because it can't be grown, because they have grown Gamay grapes in California. I remember drinking quite a few in years past. But I guess it's just something that people aren't familiar with. They know Beaujolais, but they don't know Gamay, which is one and the same, actually.
Interesting.
Three distinct styles or tiers of Beaujolais grapes. First is just Beaujolais. It's a light, fruity one, produced anywhere within the Beaujolais region. It is Beaujolais Nouveau style, if you will, a new Beaujolais, a fresh, fruity style. Beaujolais Village is the next tier, and a little bit more fuller body, a little bit more fruitiness. I shouldn't say more tannins because they don't do quite tannins on those. And it's, you know, the tannins really are not pronounced in a lot of Gamay grapes. And then the third one is Beaujolais Cru, which there are 10 Beaujolais Cru, C-R-U-S, Cru. These are the ones that are a little bit more intense. These are the ones that make a little bit stronger Beaujolais. These are the ones that are noted for having a little bit more character. And just going to tell you about a few of them here. I'm not going to go through all 10 of them. I think I'm going to cover, you know, 5 or 6 of them here. The Moulin Navin, Moulin Navin, Moulin Navin, probably is the most concentrated, powerful Beaujolais you're going to find. It's the king of the Beaujolais, if you will. It's the intense fruit, a lot of characters. Resembles a lot of the Côte d'Or. There is just a great elegance, a great body. The fruit just comes out. The dark fruit starts jumping into a lot more than what you usually find in Gamay grapes. Soft tannins, but yet enough tannins in it that it will age for a while. It's not one that... you have to drink right away. It's got enough tannins that it can probably go 10, 12, 15 years on some of these coming from the Moulin Navin. Some of the top Beaujolais wine or grapes come, wines come from this area. Next one, Morgon, M-O-R-G-O-N, Morgon. Fresh, fruity type wines, more of a medium body, not as intense and not as strong as the, Moulin Navin, but again, some very nice jammy flavors. Easy drinking wines, not real strong, but good deep color, good aromas, just really a nice good red wine. These can be aged also 5, 6, 7 years, they're capable of. The next one, the Fleury, F-L-E-U-R-I-E, Fleury. The Fleury is, well, we had Moulin Navin as the king of the Beaujolais. The Fleury is referred to as the queen of the Beaujolais. It's more of a lush, silky wine. Probably the most popular of the wines because of the softness and the finesse that it brings out in there. It doesn't have a lot of the tannins. A little bit softer, a little bit lighter. A lot of people like to chill this for picnics and stuff because it is a little bit lighter. Some of the wineries, though, do make this wine a little bit stronger, a little bit more powerful, capable of aging 4, 5, 6, 7 years. So some of the wines you have to be a little careful if you're looking at one to drink now. Be sure you're not getting one that is a strong, powerful one. Bruy. B-R-O-U-I-L-L-Y, pronounced Bruy. The reds of this region are really fruity. They come out as a just dumping fruit in your mouth, just like you're chomping on cherry, strawberries, plums, everything all together. No tannins to speak of, just a light, soft wine. That is just, you drink it now and you enjoy it now and you don't worry about it much longer than that. But again, some of the estates do make these so that they can be aged for 4 or 5 years. So There are some out there that are a little bit heavier. Renee, R-E-G-N-I-E, with the two little marks over both of the E's. And you said what they were, and I forgot what they are now. This is the newest of the Beaujolais regions, just designated in 1988. It was the newest crew, I should say. It was a Beaujolais village, but it's just been promoted to crew back in 1988. The wines from the northern part of this are right next to the Morgon region, and because of the fact that they are right next to the Morgon region, makes some big, rich, powerful wines, but you get further south and they lighten up and they're not as intense. Overall, though, this is a little bit more heavier, a little bit more tan, and these can be aged for 3 or 4 years, which will just balance them out quite well and give them a nice fruitiness. And then the last region of the Beaujolais is the Juliana. Juliana, spelled J-U-L-I-E-N-A-S, is one of the smallest ones of the Beaujolais region. It is you see some pretty good wines out of here. They have a little bit deeper color, a lot of fruitiness, a lot of tannins. They are a small region. Because of the small region, you're going to pay a little bit more for it. And probably one of the longest aging Beaujolais you're going to find in the region, too. It is small, and they do take a little bit more time, a little bit more oak in it, which creates a much longer aging possibility for the wine. And that will be where we're going to stop tonight.
Oh.
The Rhone Valley is the next region in France we're going to cover. So, made it through the Burgundy region.
Okay. I was just checking to make sure we didn't have any calls waiting yet. We have 8 minutes left in the program, and this is the first time I've had to switch through. We have two chat windows going. One's on Blog Talk Radio. The other one is on 1,000 mics. And we're actually getting activity on 1,000 mics. So we're getting a lot of response off of 1,000 mics. It's looking very good over there. So very interesting. It's just trying to flip through these screens. It's like I'm scanning. I'm going to the chat room. I'm going to the switchboard to look for calls, then to the other chat room. It's like, oh, my gosh. Okay. But anyway. I might have to get a fourth computer in here to see if I can.
Just so you can control everything.
Yeah, it's gonna look like a professional broadcast booth, like for a TV station. We're gonna have all. It's more than just radio. It's gonna be a big thing here.
More than radio, yes.
Yeah. So wow, that's quite a bit there. That's wow. Okay. Yeah, I was taking note and taking notes
during the whole thing too. Yeah. We can always listen to the rebroadcast, though, you know.
I think I'm going to have to. But every once in a while, you come up with the oh, what was I saying, you know, before, and then I have to go to, oh, man, let me see. I have that, you know.
Yeah. Sorry. I might have to start calling more and more on my engineer. She was, you know, was just laughing at me tonight. She wasn't helping a lot, so.
Okay. We're still... we're still chatting in on 1,000 mics. That's kind of interesting. We have, let's see, the phone number, there's only 6 minutes left, 646-727-3235, which is a New York number, 646-727-3235, so we should get a lot of a call from everybody.
Anything on 1,000 mics that...
Let's see, no, just the discussion when you were talking about Chardonnay. We had... the listener up there in my original neck of the woods near I-10 and Loop 410 in San Antonio, Texas, enjoys a buttery, oaky Chardonnay, and
the butteriness comes from a second fermentation. They run into a second fermentation, a malolactic fermentation. That's what gives it the butteriness. So not all Chardonnays give you butteriness. It's only if they run into a second fermentation do you get that butteriness.
Okay. And that was also in the line of where the aftertaste of chocolate came from. It was all in that that same side there. And then they had to run and take a business call, and they're back. And so we're still chatting.
Good. So anyway,
I've heard that. Yeah, that was cool. So you have, let's see, this weekend, which is going to be this Saturday, September 26th. This is cool. It is another wine fest. And definitely, if you're in the area near, anywhere in the Bay Area, on the, near Tampa Bay in Florida, this part of Florida, anywhere in Florida, it's easy to get to. Come down or go across I-7, go south, north, whatever. Interstate 75 to exit 285, that is State Road 52, and go west about 4 miles, and you go right to Florida State's winery that is located at 25241 State Road 52. Land O'Lakes this weekend from 10. Yeah, I think it was. I was getting all kinds of stuff here.
10 till 3. Yeah. We got funnel cake coming out this week.
Oh, man. Okay, I have to put that down. What am I doing? Okay. I don't know. Saturday I'm going to Gainesville. But anyway, you have Tastefully Simple is going to be there. Cindy, I'm going through here. Cindy is going to be there with. Orchids, Pottery, and Gift. My Lovely Orchids, Pottery, and Gifts. Tina is going to bring her line of Stacy's Gifts. You can check it out at stacysgifts.com. Carmen is going to be taking orders for custom-made signs. Doris is going to have her homemade all-occasions cards, her jewelry, and hand-knitted items. You will also have a vendor offering yummy kettle corn at the fest. That's cool. Hot dog cart's going to be there. Is that Sodies? Sodies? Okay. Hot dog cart, and let's see, you're going to have another new vendor. What is this? Hand-painted bottles and glasses. That's going to be cool. Come out and shop this weekend at Florida State's Winery. Also, since it is a winery, you can also taste some wines there. That's cool, too. The weather's going to be great. Now they're getting me on this cell phone here. But anyway, that's going to be a whole different line. Let's see. It's going to be great weather this weekend. I believe there's only like the chance of rain has gone down the past couple of days.
Yeah, 33%. Speaking of rain, quickly, Varsha from Party Like Candles will be there Saturday too, throw her in there. But speaking of rain, I just saw the weather forecast. You realize that next Wednesday morning, the low is supposed to be Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, the low is supposed to be 68.
Wow.
Now everybody out there is going, what? Yes, this is the first time we dropped into the 60s in about, 7 months?
Wow.
So this is an exciting time for us here in Florida.
Have to break out the coats again.
Yes, we will.
Some people are going, 68, you break out coats? Oh, yeah. Anything lower, we have to get the gloves and everything.
We do, parkas.
If you would like to be a vendor at WineFest, call the winery or email the winery. The email address is corp@floon.com. That's FLEWN.com. Let me see how much time we have. I may have to go ahead and run the outro. Ron, thanks a lot. We'll definitely start.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Buzz People. Thank you, Mr. Texas.
Yes. And everybody else who's listening, the shows will also be available on iTunes as a free download. It usually takes about 30 minutes or so you can definitely check that out on iTunes and just do a search for, I think it's a Chico Dog is what it's under, CHICODAWG. Take it with you, and you can listen to it on the road on iTunes, so on your iPods and everything.
Email us.
Yeah, email and all that, addresses and everything, I think is coming up. If I can I can run our outro, and we'll be back, not next Thursday, the week
not
after
next Thursday.
Ooh, that was close. And we'll see you all next time on the show. Thank you for listening, and hope to see you next time. Thank you.
Good night,
everyone. Thank you.
This concludes our call-in talk show for the evening. Special thank you to Ron Hunt of Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Visit the winery online at www.floridaestateswines.com. That's WINES.com. Email address for the winery is corp@floon.com. That's corp@FLEWN.com. Or call area code 813-996-2113. If you're in the area, Florida Estates Winery is located 4 miles west of Interstate 75 on State Road 52. The winery is open daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. For information on our show and music stream, visit us on our MySpace page at www.myspace.com/ChicoDawg1. That's D-A-W-G and the number 1. Email address is podcast@ChicoDawg.com. Follow the show on Twitter at twitter.com/MikeWCFL. WCFL as in Wesley Chapel, Florida. If you have a topic you would like to discuss on air, please contact me. Chico Dawg Live is a weekly talk show hosted on Blog Talk Radio. We encourage our listeners to participate in our online chat room or call us on air at 646-727-3235 and tell your friends.